Hey, welcome to Rock Talk with Jackie Neal. I'm going to be talking with all kinds of entertainers, musicians, artists, comedians, singers, songwriters, bands, about their life, their career, their inspirations, their philosophies. I'd love for you to subscribe, like, and leave us a review. In this episode, we are talking to the one and only Blackie Lawless of WASP.
40th anniversary tour of WASP is coming up. Blackie, I know you are so busy. You've got a lot of irons in the fire. Thank you for taking the time with us.
It is my pleasure, and I thank you for having me.
Now, tell us, what can your fans expect with this big tour?
We didn't develop the reputation we have by being pedestrians, shall we say. When we first started, oddly enough, we never had any intention of ever playing live. You know, we were in Los Angeles, and we knew that to get a record deal, no one paid attention to you if you played live. They were basically going off of your demo tapes. So we went in and we made, you know, what would effectively become our first record. In the time that we sent the tapes out to the time we weren't getting any response, which was about 6 weeks, we started getting bored and we said, you know what, we think these songs are actually pretty good. Why don't we take them out and try to play them live and see what happens? And so then we started talking about, what do you want to do? Are we just going to stand there and play and not do anything? And we kind of looked around and said, nah, we don't think that'll work. So it's just one thing just kind of led to another. The funny thing is that, especially all these years later, everybody thinks that it was some grand scheme of the way the show developed, but that's really not what happened. You know, it kind of morphed into what it became, and the rest is history.
Kind of like all the stories about what your name stands for when in actuality...
All of that. Yeah, all of that. You know, I wish, you know, we were that clever, you know, to have really planted those type of seeds. Now, I would say this about the name, WASP. We were looking for a name that was controversial without being controversial. So in other words, whatever you thought it meant was what it meant.
I love that.
And that we had calculated from the beginning. So that I will take credit for.
Through all these years, you've gathered a wide assortment of friends. Which ones have influenced or helped you the most?
That's an interesting question because, you know, they say that everybody's got probably 20 people in their life that has been like a signpost or a crossroads.
Okay.
Or something that they did, whether it was a teacher or a parent, you know, that were these 20 people that were major influences in your life. And it would be difficult for me to go through any single one of them right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say overall, and this would apply to anybody's life. You know, we can all go back and think, you know, a little bit like the old expression, you know, destinies have been changed by missing a bus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where someone came into your life totally unexpected that you didn't really think was going to end up being anything. And it ended up being monumental. And these are also things that I go into great detail. You know, my English literature teacher when I was a senior in high school, you know, I mean, I was failing his class miserably. Because I did not want to be there. I didn't want to be in his class. I thought he was singling me out and picking on me, which he was. But he told me later why. He said to me, because I was already playing in bands in high school, you know, and I wasn't getting home until 5 in the morning, and I had to get up at 7 and try to go to school, and that wasn't really working out too well. And he told me, he says, if you want to do what you really say you want to do, which is play music, you're going to have to get a command of the English language.
Oh.
Because you're not always going to be standing there with an instrument. You're going to be speaking in front of people, kind of like we're doing right now. And he impressed upon me the idea of really learning how to speak. And the first 6 weeks I was in his class, I hated it. I didn't want to be there. And then slowly the light bulb started to come on. And by the time that year was over, he had changed the way I thought, how I was going to approach my career. Honestly, looking back on it, couldn't no greater influence in my life. There's a Twilight Zone episode called Changing of the Guard. The teacher, he's a professor that's getting ready to retire, and he thinks he's done nothing to change people's lives, and he's going to commit suicide. And he has an apparition of former classmates that he's taught, and they come back to him one by one, all of them deceased, but they told him how he changed their lives. And this man, for me, was truly that changing of the guard. I've talked to other performers, you know, say basically the same thing that, you know, fans will come up to them and just give them a little nugget from time to time, you know, of things that they've either written or something they said in an interview that they told them that people would come up and say, you don't understand the effect that it had on me. People are just people. And it doesn't matter whether you've had success in your career or whether you're just going about your daily life. Even performers who have had extreme success, they just see themselves like everybody else. What they do might be somewhat extraordinary, but still they're people. And to have any other person come up to you and tell you, and you can tell by the look in their eye whether they're being sincere or not, when they tell you that you've had some sort of effect on them, it affects us greatly, far more than people know. You wouldn't be human and not have that.
And I know you talked about we all have those signposts or those crossroads in our lives. And one for you, do you agree that it was Gene Simmons answering the phone instead of Ace Frehley that time?
Yep, very much. Because I was at a point in my life where I was seriously considering hanging it up. It was probably not something I would have done permanently, because what I have discovered in life is when it comes to callings, you don't really choose it. It chooses you. Mm-hmm. So to deny it, you know, kids ask me all the time, you know, they say, hey, man, give me some advice, you know, how do I get from where I'm at to where you're at? And, you know, I tell them the same answer all the time. You know, I go, well, you know, you don't choose this. It chooses you. Are you motivated? Can you live without it? If you think for one moment you can live without this, you better seek another line of employment, because you ain't going to make it. You know, and as cruel as that may sound, it is absolutely factual.
Your career goes way beyond the band. I'm sure a lot of people have read this. Some may not. You're almost a Terminator in a Village People movie.
Oh, yeah.
You played baseball. I think, was it the minor league team for the Cincinnati Reds?
Oh, I didn't actually play for them. I had the opportunity to play for them, but I was 17, and I was at a crossroads where I really had to choose whether it was going to be baseball or whether it was going to be music.
Did you feel like you could not live without music, but you could live without baseball?
When I got to a point where I could see the politics that were in professional sports, it just really turned me off.
Okay.
You know, I naively believed that if you had the talent, that's all that was necessary. But I started to see that in professional sports, it was tainted in a way that just was really bursting my bubble. And I already knew show business was corrupt. And for some reason, that didn't bother me. I guess because I, in my mind, had lowered the bar, my expectations. But for sports, I saw it as more pure. And it's funny because, you know, half a dozen guys I played with in high school ended up going on to the majors. And we were all about the same level of talent, but they were able to just put their head down and go. But for me, it was, I also had this music thing too, because, you know, when I was 2 years old, I remember hearing Chuck Berry's Sweet Little 16. It was something that was speaking to me. I didn't know what it was, but I just knew that it was moving me. And I can remember where I was the moment I heard that song. I don't remember a whole lot of things at that age after that, but I remember hearing that song. And music would do those same things to me again at certain points in my life. They too would end up being signposts at different moments. You know, I was born in Florida, but we moved to New York. I was living in Staten Island when the Beatles came to America and did Ed Sullivan. And literally from where my house was to where that studio was, where they were literally changing the world, was 12 miles away. So to feel what was happening in New York City at that time, if the world felt that they were getting the impact of it, you should have been in New York City at that moment. I mean, it was insane. I was living in New York when the Kennedy assassination happened in Dallas. So in a 6 month period, or less than, actually, I think it's 79 days, someone said it is, we go from national mourning to this group of musicians appearing on Ed Sullivan. And it was just this, you know, the universe exploding at that point. It was a monumental effect on me.
Now, how do you see touring with WASP coming up for your fall tour in the U.S., Europe for 2023? How do you think that's going to be different than before?
I think first and foremost for the U.S., you know, we haven't played here in 10 years, over 10 years now. There was times I was beginning to wonder if I would ever see it again. And so for me, it's going to be going back and seeing those places again, like friends, you know, people you haven't seen in a while, to pull into a place that you are well familiar with, that you haven't seen for a while, and look around and go, I remember you. And to me, from a personal perspective, that's going to be pretty cool. I'm very much looking forward to that. As far as the actual touring part of it itself, I think preparation, all these battles are won and lost on the blackboard before you ever go out to what the production is going to be. You know, so for us, we're trying to encapsulate the career in a 2-hour set that's really going to give the best sampling that we can do. I mean, you're never going to play everything that everybody wants to hear, but you'll be able to do what we feel is the best representation of what that 4-decade span has been.
Talking about the 40 years, Blackie, when Wasp started, and Blackie now, what is your perspective on, my God, it's been 40 years?
I'm one of those people that doesn't measure time well. I hear a lot of people say, it's been 10 years since da-da-da-da-da, and they really feel the effect of that 10 years. To me, for some reason, I don't think it's denial, because I've been like this my whole life. For me, 10 years doesn't feel like what I hear other people talk about, 10 years. So whether it's a decade, 2, 3 decades, 4, or whatever, to me, I have the memories, of course. First of all, I don't feel like I'm getting any older. So I'm kind of in an adolescent time warp, if you like. And I just see things through that arrested development that the world has given me the opportunity to stay in. You know, to say, oh, wow, it's been that length of time. I think to myself, well, yeah, that is true. But I don't see it as catastrophic or that it's some giant punctuation mark coming at the end of something. I don't ever see myself retiring. What's the point in that? I'm one of those people that if I could have put myself in a Xerox machine and spit out 2 or 3 copies of myself, I would have been happy because I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to do. I have a lot of interest that I'm passionate about, so there just wasn't enough of me to go around to suit myself. But, you know, you do the best you can with what you got.
Well, my husband and I feel the same way. We are not ever going to retire. That's just not even anything we're going to consider. And I totally understand your mindset. We may not always be young, but I believe we can always stay youthful.
You know what? My grandmother, my dad's mom, before she died, she was 89. And I went to see her because she wanted to see all the kids before she was gone. This was 87. We were on tour. And I had a couple of days off, so I flew down to Florida. And I just spent the afternoon with her. And we talked that whole afternoon. And she told me then, I still feel like I'm 20 years old. I kid you not. She was the original little old lady from Pasadena. She drove well into her 80s, a Dodge Coronet 440. And, buddy, she was using every one of them horses under that engine. You know, she was a safe driver, but she was getting her money's worth out of life. You know, and I subscribe to that theory. You know, it's just, we're going to go until we can't go no more.
That's it. I don't want to limp into home. I want to slide.
Nope. I hear you.
The one and only Blackie Lawless, out on tour with Wasp for 2022. New album on the way and autobiography. Thank you so much for tuning in to Rock Talk with Jackie Neal.